And welcome to episode 45 of the Gaslit podcast. And once again, thank you guys for listening. I'm looking at the listening figures on RSS feed who we publish it with. So we can just see this general sort of quite slow, but we're seeing a general growth in the amount of listeners that we're getting each week. So it really does make a difference. When they say about podcasting, you find that it's, you get a little bit of a whoosh, and then it'll dive off, and then it'll slowly grow. Almost like a bit of a night tick, and it'll start taking off. And I think we're just starting to see that little rise there. But it's slow, steady numbers, and hopefully we get some avid listeners. I'd rather have, you know, more avid listeners taking on board the content rather than sort of flash in the pan. You know, one week we'll have a million and the next week we'll have one. So I'd rather it be nice and consistent across the board. And hopefully it's helping some of you guys out there that were in the plumbing and heating industry, or you're getting into the heating industry, or you're a DIYer, and that's what it's all about. Anyway, this week's episode, I'm going to go into a few little business facts that I've picked up along the way, and a few little hints and tips about some bits and pieces that if you're looking at going out on your own, you're already in the industry, working with somebody else, or you've just gone on your own and you're out there. Got a couple of little bits and pieces for you. But first of all, here's my friend Sean to tell you a bit more about the podcast. Thank you for listening to another Gaslit podcast, the show to help DIYers, new people into the industry, than those who are wanting to expand their knowledge. Each week we'll pick a topic and go into details, and with special guests and listeners' questions answered, we will look forward to some of the conversations. So let's get back to the show. Right, guys, so welcome, thank you. So I've been bringing some interesting facts just off the internet. Obviously with the internet you get different websites will may give you slightly different answers here. But in the UK, there are about 4.2 million people that are registered with HMRC as being self-employed, which makes up about 13% of the workforce in the UK. And of that, there's about 120,000, 150,000 people are registered within the plumbing industry. There's about 5.5 million businesses in the UK that employ 1 to 49 people, and they use the term SME, which is small and medium sized enterprise businesses. So there's a couple of things that I hear bandied around quite a few. So we employ a few people here at Gaslit, which is absolutely great, and I'm a big avid. I know we've got some tax changes coming up here in the UK on the 1st of April under this new lovely Labour government. But there's a bit of a difference between self-employed and having a business. So being self-employed, so by the very nature of it, you're employing yourself. So you advertise, you get a job, you go and do the job, you get paid, you put it into your business account or into your private account, which gets a bit difficult to sort of separate. And then you've got a profitable job. You go and do a job, you get paid, you take the wages, and typically self-employed people, anything whatsoever's left over money-wise, you take as a drawing or as a as an income. And that's then sort of how it works. You never actually make a profit, because all the profit you do make, you sort of take as a salary from the business, which is absolutely fantastic. So if you're sick for the day, nothing happens. If you go on holiday for a couple of weeks, the whole enterprise absolutely shuts down, because you're not around to run it and to be involved in it, which is absolutely fine. But that's really more of a profitable job. So when you want to start building a business that can work without you in it, so we here at Gaslit, I'll run the company. But then when I do go on holiday, we have the team here at the office. We have the team out on the road. And so when I'm not physically here, I still stick my nose in if I can and still be part of things. But actually the business runs without me, and that's all part and parcel of the thing that I'm sort of working towards, this sort of almost like an automated machine, as it were. And we put in different things into process of how we do things, how we approach things, if we get a customer that's not happy, how we do with that, and sort of installing the ethos of how I believe that we should run the business into the staff members. And so from them, they can then carry that on without me here. So I can go on holiday with my family. I can go on holiday with my pals. On motorbike trips and bits and pieces that I like to go off and do, knowing full well that the team are here to almost echo what I would actually do anyway. Yeah, I'm a bit of a workaholic. I do 7 days a week. So if I'm physically not here, sometimes I'm in the office, sometimes I'm working at home on a laptop, but I'm sort of normally in and around it all. But actually, if I take a day off, the business runs and we're making money, and that's how the whole thing should work. So that's sort of running a business there. So in your own heads, when I hear a lot of people, they're self-employed and they call it they're running their business. So it's just making sure that you understand what the definition between the two is. And you can be self-employed and then start to grow it into a business, which is absolutely fantastic. If you just want to be self-employed, that's absolutely fantastic. If that just suits you, sort of having no minimal overheads, minimum risk, minimum responsibility. And it's not for everybody. I'll tell you that for free. I've had many a sleepless night over doing what we do. Making decisions. So that's a bit of a difference between it all. So I've got a few notes, Daniel, on the computer. So the construction industry makes up majority of the people, majority of the self-employed people within the UK. So you get a lot of like hairdressers that are self-employed renting chairs on salons. The next thing is that HMRC aren't silly. I've actually got a friend of mine on Facebook. I'd done a job for him years and years ago, and he works for HMRC. And I can't say what he does. As a male, there we are. I've narrowed it down to half the population. He works in HMRC, and they're not silly. They see what's going on. They've got access to social media accounts. It doesn't matter if it's set to a private setting. You know, the government can access this stuff, and certainly if they're doing investigation to people. And, you know, most businesses, if they're turning over sort of over 90 grand, they should be VAT registered. I know it creeps up and up each year. So it's around the sort of £90,000 sort of mark. If you employ one person, really, there's not many businesses out there. If you pay yourself and have one person, and how you can sort of stay under the £90,000 threshold. So they can actually come back to you and actually do their investigations and then start reclaiming the VAT back. And certainly if you're doing jobs and registering with building control with the council, if you're registering with boilers, with gas safe, any of these sort of official bodies that you're working through and with, they can just go back to it all, and suddenly, if you've got an investigation, that can make you bankrupt. You could lose your house and your shirt over all that. So what I'm trying to get at is that if you are out there and you're doing well, celebrate it. Don't hold yourself back. Go VAT registered. And genuinely, my hand on my heart, the best thing I ever did, and this is controversial, is I went VAT registered. Because there is a part when you're coming up to that sort of threshold, you're up into the 80,000s, and you're like, oh, wow, we're doing well, but I don't want to go to the next step. I don't want to go to the next level because I'm going to go into VAT. When people go to Currys, when they go to British Gas and Home Serve, and they go to the pub, and they go to Homebase or B&Q, whoever it be, there's VAT on all of that. And the biggest... when I speak to my my friends and colleagues within the sort of construction industry, and the biggest, my prices are going to go up 20%. They don't go up 20%. But what it does show to your customers is that you're a registered business, you're registered for VAT, you've got establishment in what you do. You're here to stay and not gone tomorrow. And when people do see that, yes, you will. I've lost a couple of customers. They're going, oh, you've VAT registered? Yes, I am. Will you have a swerve? No, I won't. Okay, I'm off. I've had a couple and that's it. But were they a great customer? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they were going to mess me around left, right and centre. I don't know with that one. But it's only been a handful of people. And yes, you will get those people that are being, let's say, price sensitive
to what they want, to what you're going to charge. But, you know, if you're offering a service, and certainly that's what we do in the construction industry typically, we're offering a service. And if you come to us, we are Companies House, we are VAT registered, we're a limited company. We've been paying corporation tax. We've been making a profit for the last umpteen years. And that's all transparent and you can see it all. So whether you're a business, whether you're a homeowner, you can log on and you can see that we've got filed accounts from the chartered accountants that we use. We're here to stay. And that's the promise we're going to make to our people. And some people just want a quick job done, dusted, not even interested, throw a boiler in, don't want it registered, don't care if your gas safe or not. And those sort of people aren't the people for us. So the government are making it harder and harder for people to sort of employ long-term subcontractors. So the idea of a subcontractor is, oh, well, I've got a job come in, I need an extra person. That one's self-employed. Can you come in for this task and project? Thank you very much. All done and dusted. There's your money. So putting aside the CIS scheme and stuff like that, or the construction industry tax scheme, and off you go. But when it's week on week on week on week, and you're doing the same similar jobs over and over again, HMRC don't want it. They don't like it. And one thing I've found is that actually employing people, you'll get a different type of person that will come and join your company. So most people want the stability. They're not absolutely lunatics like myself that want to go, oh yeah, let's go self-employed, let's employ people, let's take the risk every single month and let's get the jobs in and do all them bits and pieces. Not everybody's cut out for it, which is absolutely fine. Most people want some paid holiday, they want sick, they want security for their commitments and their families. They want to know that the money's good every single month if they're on a bonus scheme or whatever they're doing, but they want that stability. They don't want all the tax returns or buying their own vehicles or all them bits and pieces. They just want a job. Now, I think I'm now unemployable as a person, so which is absolutely fantastic. And seeing those people there, getting them on board, we're committing to them and they're committing to us by coming to work for us. And you will get people, and we've had it here where you employ people and it doesn't work out for whatever reason, and they go that way and we go this way, as it were. So, you know, and you wish them all the best in their future endeavours. And it does happen. It happens all the time across, it happens every single day, even just across Medway, let alone the UK. But don't be afraid of employing people. When you get to that point, there's never a perfect time, there's never a right time, but really, really, really just get on board with it. And yes, it can be expensive, but it's not as expensive as you think. Have a chat with your accountant if you get to that point. Do the VAT thing, so that's not holding you back. And one lovely thing about all of that is you ain't going to bed with your one eye open, looking over your shoulder. It's so simple. You file your taxes, you get them paid, you've got nothing to worry about. And it's a lovely place to be honest. Another thing I put down here is it's actually sometimes quite a lonely place to be, running a business or being self-employed. When you've got to sort of make your own decisions on what should I do? Should I sort of turn this corner and sort of go down that road? Should I have a look at this industry or that industry? Someone offers you a big job, maybe it's, you know, 2, 3, 4 months worth of work, and you think, oh, all my eggs are in one basket on this, but it looks great. Should I do it? Should I not do it? So, yeah, so having someone to sound off, so it's really, really important, not just for business, but for your own mental health, that you can sound off people within your industry. So whether you're a painter, decorator, a plumber, whatever you do, you'll always bump into people and you'll meet nice, good people. Even if they're employed by somebody else, it's someone that understands the industry that you're in. And a good place to meet these people are like in plumbers merchants, talking to the people that work at the counter. You'll always bump into the people that are friendly and approachable, and you'll know them, you know, when you're standing there and you'll say hello, good morning, afternoon, you know, you've been busy or whatever else, they'll respond back to you in a sort of a bit of a friendly manner. So I'm making those little connections where you can say, oh, I've had a tough one. I actually had one last week with a guy I know that's recently gone on his own. And I said to him, oh, how are you getting on? He goes, oh, I'm an absolute stinker. You know, he damaged a piece of customer's property by mistake by dropping a tool. And I just said to him, I said, he goes, oh, it's the worst I've ever had. I went, mate, just give me a ring. Just call me up. And, you know, I can sympathise, I can understand, but you're not on your own, mate. So don't beat yourself up about it. And it's nice sometimes when a problem shared is a problem halved, when someone else can put it into context for you and put that little bit of reality spin on what's happened. Because when you're in it, you can't see the wood for the trees. So yeah, I think it's really, really important to make up those connections wherever you are in the country, wherever you are in the world. It's simple enough to do. It's just a bit of communication. So last week, what do we have? Oh my God, I had an LPG water heater catch fire. So I won't go into all the details, who, where, what and when. But let's say it was faulty. And on this little open flue water heater, I pushed it in and I was trying to keep the pilot light on. And the outside of the heater was covered in soot, which was a bit bizarre, really. When I looked at the burner, it looked... You know, the case was off when I arrived, but when I looked at the burner, it looked okay. And I was like thinking, well, how do we get loads of soot on the outside of the heat exchanger? And as I lit the pilot light, we had a normal size pilot light, maybe 15 mil long, as a little blue flame, onto the thermocouple, and I'm pushing it and holding it, and I let go and it went out. Oh, so I relit it, held it in. I thought, right, we'll give it 60 seconds. Towards the end of the 60 seconds, what I didn't realise, the button I was pushing in, the gas valve, the gas was leaking around the spindle and coming out. All of a sudden, the LPG caught fire. So the outside of the boiler is alight. My hand, I've lost all the hairs on the back of my hand. They're all burnt off. And I absolutely panicked. And I managed to blow the flames out, actually around the control knob before it started melting the plastic. Obviously, it could have gone really, really sour, but it was all done and dusted within, well, it felt like a lifetime as these things do, but all sorted out very, very quickly in the end. And then we condemned that little LPG water heater. So always be prepared. I've never had it before, and hopefully I'll never have that again. But yeah, so that was interesting. Over the weekend, I've been doing some more videos, which I'll be putting up onto the YouTube channel when I can get them edited down. We had an old Valent 837 combination boiler that we took out from a small commercial building last week. And I just really wanted to sort of break it down and show you guys about the burner and the different parts and parcels of inside the boiler and how it works. So I've recorded that. So hopefully we can start getting those videos out to you up on our YouTube channel called the Gaslit Podcast. Onto that channel there, probably why you're listening to this podcast today. This week, me and Dave are in training, so we'll get that announced. We're in training all week, so it's great fun, bit of a head scratch getting back into the classroom, which is absolutely awesome. And it's nice spending a bit of time with Dave in the commute and stuff like that, and having a bit of a chat and a bit of a joke and that, and having a nice little catch up on what we've all been up to, and obviously talking our favourite subject, motorbikes, which is pretty cool. So the winter isn't over yet, so we're still having some cold snaps. We had a fantastic weekend. I think we had highs of nearly 19 degrees over the weekend. Mrs. Gaslick, she's car, she got a convertible, and we went out for Sunday lunch with a few of us, and I got the roof down, and we went down to the pub to go and get a bit of lunch down in Chatham. So that was absolutely amazing with the roof down, the bit of music playing. It was awesome. But then looking on the weather on come Saturday, we're looking at a potential of snow. So it's going to drop down into the minus figures as from tomorrow being Tuesday. It's the 10th now. I'm recording this on the Monday of March. So, yeah, so we're looking at that there. So We obviously, this time of year, there's going to be a turn when the weather does start turning more mild than cold. And that's when we start seeing the business start to change and pivot. And some people could turn a bit more proactive rather than reactive in what they're doing and their plans. So I think it's going to be a little bit later on in March. March is normally a really quiet month for us, the first sort of month as it starts to warm up. But so far, it's looking quite busy with all the bookings that we've got going on. That's why I booked the training for me and Dave for this week, because historically, when you look on year, the business does drop off come the March time. So, yeah, sort of backfired a little bit on us, be honest, this week. But if I missed this training this week, it was going to be another 2 months' time before we could get back onto it. And I didn't really want to wait that long. So a little bit of a sacrifice now for some other announcements and bits that are going to be coming up very, very, very soon. Okay, guys, well, thank you very much indeed for listening. And yeah, so if you have any questions that you want answered, have you got, you want to become a guest on the podcast, on the telephone or in person down here at the Gaslight Towers in the historic city of Rochester, send us an email at podcast@gaslight.net. Well, thank you very much indeed for listening, guys. You take care. Have a fantastic week, no matter whatever you're doing. All the best. Goodbye.